This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
For the last few weeks, we've been hearing stories of Jesus that are some of the hardest to hear. Not because Jesus is performing miracles, healing a blind man, raising Lazarus, but because these stories also show the human side of God, a stubborn side that sometimes needs convincing, as with the woman who wanted her daughter healed, who Jesus tried to refuse, a gruff Jesus who spits in mud and argues with Pharisees, a Jesus who doesn't show up on time, even though his dearest friend needs him, and instead lets him slip away into death. I read these stories to the children, y'all, so I know they're hard to hear. And a couple of weeks ago, one of them raised their hand and said, "That doesn't sound like Jesus." If you had been there, he wouldn't have died. Martha and Mary confront him in our gospel story today. They are angry because Jesus waited two whole days before heading their way to help. And even when he did, he knew Lazarus was gone and seemed to be more interested in the miracle, more interested in convincing the disciples. He said, "For your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe." If you were here, you would not have died. "Where were you?" they're asking. "We needed you and you didn't show up. We are asking and asking and asking, and it seems that God does not answer. When we see people dying and grieving, when we see thousands of people displaced and dehumanized, when we see the world literally burning." Clearly, I'm no longer talking about the stories of the Bible, but our own world right now, where people have had their rights stripped from them, driver's licenses revoked, where bodily autonomy is questioned and denied, where children are detained and incarcerated. "Why weren't you here, Lord?" You are omnipotent, God, and yet our suffering increases daily. We are losing faith even as we see you in our daily lives because the bad is so bad and so many people are dying. If you had been here, Lord. I suppose the question we need to look at is, what do we expect? What do we expect of God, and what kind of presence are we looking for? I suppose we're looking for a life-giving presence, one that will keep performing these miracles that we see in our gospels. Because of these miracles in the gospels, we've come to expect miracles in our own lives, and not just, "God, heal this," or, "Lord, show me how to do that." We are looking with profound hope for God to show up here and save our very lives in concrete and measurable ways. We want that, and we know it can happen, because we see Jesus do it right here with Lazarus. But y'all, we're missing the context change between the there then and the here now. This moment with Lazarus, Jesus is focused on proving to his disciples that he is God. Jesus said he would raise Lazarus so that they would believe. That's the reason this story is where it is. He wasn't showing his might or promising to save them from grief. He was establishing for them that he was God, proving that he was the Messiah come for them. And I'm afraid, as a result, that we look for the wrong things from God in these stories and in our own lives. Jesus was human, and God is mighty to save. Those are true statements. But there is more to the story. And that is what we have to carry forward into our relationship to God now, because we already know that Jesus is God. That has been established for us here. So our story moves on from proof of God into life with God. So let's look at the story of Lazarus again and see where we may see ourselves in the context and tension of the story. His sisters are bereft and angry. Jesus begins to weep, and he calls Lazarus back from the dead. This is an incredible resolution by all accounts. And yet, there is a part of this story that also gives a little vibe of selfishness, the selfish grief of those who are still living. They want their brother back at any cost, and they know that Jesus is able to save him, which is why they sent for him, and it's why they're angry that he didn't come in time, and it is why Jesus weeps, because he loved him. This is a natural and normal part of the grieving process. It's the normal part of grieving a loss. And Jesus knows the end is here, right? Not just for Lazarus, but for himself also. They will no longer be on an earthly plane together, no matter what happens in this moment. But because this is an account of Jesus's capacity of performing miracles to prove who he is, the story doesn't talk about that. In fact, the story doesn't say a lot of things. The story doesn't tell us, for instance, how Lazarus felt. It doesn't tell us if he suffered before he died, or why he died, or if he was at peace. It doesn't say whether he wanted to come back. Imagine that you've arrived at God's side and glimpsed the glory of God's face for the first time. Imagine the relief of the glory after days of suffering and painful death. Imagine no longer feeling thirsty, no longer having any pain in your body anywhere. Imagine transcending relationship as you know it in a way that allows you to love so profoundly that the difference between here and there doesn't matter anymore, because infinite love and eternal presence are real, and you finally know it because you are infinite love and eternal presence. And now imagine somebody calling you back from that. Imagine arriving back into wailing grief and the agony of a body that has been broken already. You see, it may be that we're looking for the wrong things, and it may be that we are expecting from God things that we haven't thought all the way through. Maybe we can't ask the right things in the midst of our grief. That's true. In our grief, we just want our loved ones back and for them not to have died at all, and we wonder why God isn't responding to our cries for help and relieving our loneliness. And of course we do. Loss is awful, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And as a trauma-informed pastoral caregiver, I also noticed that Mary and Martha could have benefited from Jesus acknowledging their grief and his own delay. Perhaps it would have helped for them to know that Jesus did not come here to guarantee a long, full life for everyone, even if God is our BFF, as Jesus was for them. And absolutely none of it feels fair in the moment. I have certainly lost people too soon and carried a mountain of grief. None of it fair. But it is also true that in our grief, we come to know God in a profoundly new way. That is something that I know from my own experience, and not just from this story of Jesus weeping. But because through loss, I came to understand my own heart's capacity for love. I have come to know people who showed up for me in profound ways in the days that followed, and I know God sent those people to care for me. I am sure that God could have stopped the loss that I suffered. But that wasn't the point of my story. God preserving life isn't the point of Lazarus's story either. Not the only point, anyway. Though saving his life is a perspective of the story that is told in the gospel in order to establish that Jesus was God on earth, it is not the only perspective that can be taken from this story. The beating heart of this story is in the unwritten part. That's the part that is helpful for us as the people without the capacity who are left here to grieve. It's in wondering what Lazarus experienced when he departed. In the closeness Lazarus must have known with God in his deepest suffering. The real story of God's promise in a context where Jesus is already known is not that he will come to save our lives. The story is one of transcendence, of new life, of never-ending glory in the after now. It is the story of where Lazarus went after he died. And I wonder if he told his closest what that was like. Loss leaves us, those who are the closest, with the lion's share of pain and grief left behind. And that is our story to write. Will we go out and meet God as Martha met Jesus and ask, "Where were you?" Yes, we absolutely will. And we should. But there's so much more to be said in that moment. And in this story, it's suspiciously absent. If the story hasn't been about proving that he was God, perhaps Jesus would have drawn near to them in their grief and told them grief is really unspent love that has no way to be expressed. Perhaps he would have anointed them with oil and reminded them that they still have one another, that they are still God's own, and that they still have love to give. Perhaps Mary and Martha would have gone on to become death doulas, using their experience to comfort others in similar experiences. We, the people left to grieve, the people watching the atrocities of this world, those of us who can still stomach watching the news anyway, have so much love and comfort to offer to our fellow travelers. We should grieve, to be clear. We have to grieve. And we would also be wise to stop and look for God in our grief, because God promises to comfort us there. And then, when we're through grieving, we have to put our pain into motion and become the hands and feet of Christ in the world. We have to look for ways that we can help, no matter how small. We have to engage the margins, the painful places where we would rather not go, to see if we can offer a hand of comfort or one of grace. Because once we have been through the fires of hell, we have to go back in with buckets of water to save those who are still in it. God did not become human, born of a woman, to save us all from the pain of death or from earthly suffering. God came to earth to live as a human in order to show us that even in the midst of suffering, the Spirit and the presence of God is still within us. And that Spirit is ours to share. That Spirit is there to guide us, even in the most horrible circumstances. Seek God on the margins and not just where it is safe. Expect God's love to pull you to an uncomfortable place so you can grow and help the world grow. That's what we're called to do in this church by our core value. It's one of our guiding principles. Working side by side is how we hold fast to who we are and how we remember that we are Christ's own forever. So keep holding tight to one another in this community while you are earthside. And trust that the coming glory that you are promised in the afterlife, may it not go too quickly. And may it bring you immense pockets of joy and ridiculous laughter and really great food with great people. Life is short. We do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk this way with us. So be swift to love, make haste to be kind. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.